I'm going to go straight into a message this morning, and then we'll have a few announcements at the end here this morning. But we had a tough weekend across the United States this weekend. We've had a shooting down in Tennessee that devastated not only the state of Tennessee, but everyone I talked to this week. The shooting in a private Christian school down there made no sense, rhyme, nor reason in so many ways, but yet it makes every bit of reason when you go, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that's what was going on this weekend down there. The enemy took a swipe at a community. The enemy took a swipe at a school and people, and it's hatred. And we've had 31 tornadoes hit the United States this weekend in 9 different states. And there's, as I stand here, the cries that are going up this morning, God, help. God, I need you. God, I need to see you. God, why? Why me, dear God? Why us, dear God? Haven't we? And it ain't about me, why, us, and how. It's about, God, can I trust you to take me in the rest of today, this next step into tomorrow? 31 storms of the winds and the clouds and whatever it could bring on 9 different states has devastated thousands upon thousands of people and homes and communities. And it isn't just a quick, it'll be there for a long time. And I hear all those cries. My spirit hears those cries. And as I sit here and I look across this audience this morning, my spirit hears your cries. How much more the Father? How much more Jesus, who died for you and loves you, does he hear? Is he tuned in? And you think, well, you might hear so-and-so's because they're more spiritual than I. You might hear their cries, Lord, and their prayers because they spend more time in the Bible. And Jesus says, no, that isn't, I died for all. How many is all? All. Stupid question, I get it. But all. Every one of us, Jesus wants to meet all of us. So we're just going to cry out to God on their behalf this morning. And as we do, I remember being in the hospital with COVID. I don't know, it seemed like an eternity ago, but it wasn't that long ago. And crying out, God, are you even there? I think I'm going to go out of this world, sitting in a hospital bed with two air hoses stuck up my nostrils, blowing 100 pounds of pressure. This is not how I figured I was going to go out. Can we go out with a little more pizzazz, Lord? Can we go out with a little more flair? God, I really want to sit around the table with my family and have lunch one more time. I really want to hug my grandkids and my daughters and my sons. I really want to hang out with my wife, Lord. God, I got so many desires, the things I want to do. And those were all selfish. I get it. I'm a very selfish man. But God says, I want to grant that to you because I'm not done yet. And as those across the world, he showed me a picture of the world, a map laid out like you would unfold the world. And he showed me men and women that were praying for me. And that's what we want to do this morning for those that are in Illinois and Tennessee and parts of Kentucky this morning and all around this world. We want to touch those that are crying out this morning on their behalf. We're going to loan them some of our faith. You guys may think that's a stupid thing, but it's really not. It's so real. Lord, Jesus, if I don't have enough faith, can you give me just a little bit more? And when he gives it to me, I freely want to give it away as well. Isn't it cool when you can sit across the table from one another and speak to them and they encourage you? You know what they're doing? They're giving you some of their faith. They're giving you their hope and trust, and they can be in worse shape than you are. They may have just lost everything and lost someone truly loved, but yet they have a heart that just overflows with faith. Lord, establish this to be a house of faith. I normally don't do this, and I'm very careful when I do this, but my wife and I and Melissa and whoever was in the house that day, we sat and watched a movie the other night we pulled it up on YouTube. The girl that had enough faith, that believed in miracles. The girl that believed in miracles. There was so much dust in my house that day that my eyes just watered continually. There was actually sobbing. It was so powerful. And just to see how Jesus moved because a little girl had faith. Is some of it subjection too? Yeah. But there's also so much truth and fact in the midst of. When you have faith the size of a mustard seed, he says, you can move mountains. The dead can be raised. Relationships can be restored. My wife having enough faith in me and our relationship restored our marriage. 45 years coming up, guys. I don't deserve the girl. But God says, I've held her for you. And when you didn't have enough faith, Bert, Miss Carla had enough faith for you. Your sweetheart had enough faith. So let's pray for these people. God, I'm just a babbling feller this morning, God. We just come to you and we bring the hearts and the cries, Lord. God, as we close our eyes and we just meditate for a moment, we see little children that have lost their favorite toy, dear God, or stuffed animal. We see pets that are missing, dear God, that have been part of the family. We see loved ones that are dead and dying, dear God, and those, dear God, that are actually, Lord, need healing. We see those, dear God, that have put all they had, dear God, in their possessions, dear God, and Lord, in their mind, all their identity has been stripped. We see those, dear God, that have built up this great and wonderful things in this of this world, dear God, and it's gone. This morning it's just a flat piece of concrete. And God, their hearts are broke. Their hearts are confused. Their hearts are wondering, what next? And God, we just ask you, God, to meet and touch. Loan them, dear God, as we pray, Lord, may they actually feel, dear God, that there is a God in heaven and he's collecting all these prayers and he's sending them their way, dear God. And for my loved ones across this crowd, dear God, and those on that are watching us, dear God, this morning. Can you touch them, dear God? Can you meet them, dear God? Can you break down the walls that we built? Can you strip away our pride, dear God? Can you just lift? Can you just be the lifters of our head, the lifters of our arms, dear God? Take that baggage, dear God. Just cut that stuff off. As my sister said, Lord, that cloak of shame, dear God. I love the picture, Lord. You've got a hold of it and you're ripping it off. And we're hanging on for dear life because it's our identity. It's our security blanket, God. And you want to convince us, no, it's doing more harm than it is good. It's time to let it go. Show us, dear God, what it's time to let go this morning. Show us, dear God, what's time to receive this morning. It's new, it's different, and we don't receive new and different very well, God, but allow us, dear God, allow our hearts to be adventurous this morning. Come, oh God, we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow, wow, wow. I told some folks it's a little bit interesting, I guess. Mom and Dad Lamont are out of the house this week. I mean, they're my spiritual parents. And they're out of the house. And they turned the reins over to me, and I'm going, how do I keep up with everything you've been doing? And I actually told Miss Tracy, I says, well, kind of nervous. She says, son, you've been equipped. The Holy Spirit has equipped you. So go and do what the Lord says. So thank you for your hearts, your patience with me this morning as I try to unfold and hear what the Lord's saying. I'm really confident until I'm not. Just a word. It's just a word. Don't know how else to tell you. So this morning, if Miss Jen will give my first slide, check out. Now let me brag on my team. I got to do it. Behind everybody that puts off a good message, there's a team back there that's doing everything for him. Even he didn't come up with the message. The Holy Spirit did. So I'm just somebody standing up here this morning that he's going to speak through, I pray, I hope. But I sent this to my brother, Glenn. I'm gonna be a name dropper this morning, Glenn. And he put this together for me. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you make me look good. But I'm telling you what, when I saw that this morning, when he was going through my slides that he built for me, I'm going, dude, I couldn't have picked anything better. It brought me to tears. Because this hand you see reaching out here, that was me. That's Peter. That's you. So, amen. Now I can just go away. You guys, that says it all. But it's so interesting. Do you believe I've done all these things for you? Do you believe in me now? What's it going to take? What more do I have to dazzle you with? What other word can I say? Does it take a personal word from God himself has been speaking to you this whole time. The Holy Spirit within you speaks to you every day. This stuff wasn't even in my notes. I don't even know where I'm going here. But yet we wait for the prophet or the revival guy to come through the back door to catch the word from them. And I'm not against that, okay? I think that's great. But Jesus says, I've been talking to you every morning. I talk to you every hour of every day. And you don't get near as excited about me, Bert, as you do when the guy comes in and stands up here and calls you out of the crowd. He says, I've been calling you out for a long time, and not in a good way all the time. I love his honesty along with his truth. He says, Bert, I bailed you out by calling you out so many times. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have. But aren't we quite the individuals? We always want a little bit of recognition. We say we don't, but I do. I want to be recognized. Everyone in here wants to be seen and known and heard. I've been holding this water a long time. I'm going to spill it, so I better put it down. And that's so interesting. And Jesus says, I heard Peter before he even went down. As Jesus was walking through the crowd and the woman with the blood issue touched, he knew who touched her. He didn't have to ask. But he also perceived others around going, can I touch him? Ooh, I'm going to break some cardinal rule. I'm going to break the law if I go up and touch him. But she got healed. Do I dare go do it to be healed? Can I? Should I? Would I? And then they didn't. But you know that's what was going on in the crowd. Can anybody attest to that? That would have been going on if you were in the crowd? Me, yeah. Yeah. Lord, I got this arthritis in one knee and I can hardly walk half the time. I wonder if I could get a touch from you. But you know what? I'm too proper for that. I'm too law abiding for that. I'm not going to reach out and do that. You have not, because you don't ask and you don't move. Jesus responds to your movement. Faith is a movement word. Faith is a walking out the door and getting slapped by the Holy Spirit when he meets you headed to your dream. Faith is walking out the door and being slapped by healing as you're headed to the doctor. Faith is when you're sitting down with the checkbook and going, Lord, I don't know. There just ain't enough, don't look like enough here, but I'm going to write out the check and pray in faith that you will have enough money in there before I put this in the mail. And that's where he slaps you. Can you go back in your heart and see where he's met you? Has he met you? Maybe that's a bigger question. If he hasn't met you, then you and I need to go have coffee. Because I dare to say he's met each and every one of us someplace, somehow, some way. And he's ran you over in a good way. You just got ran over by Jesus. And yet, we don't get very excited about it. We keep it quiet. When's the last time you bragged about Jesus? You know what? That would seem like bragging. Well, yeah. Yeah, let's brag about him. That would seem like religious folks, we don't talk about the things that happened to us because it may not have happened to the other person. Well, how about if you knew what happened to me and the goodness that's happening to me, you might borrow some of my faith and go, how you doing this? How come he's always raining on you and I'm walking in the desert? Wow. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he asked them, as I'm about to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus on this April the 2nd, 2023, sitting in New Song? Who is Jesus for you? Who do you say he is? What is he? Is he a story? Is he something your parents talked about? Is it something the culture you lived in? What, who, why, how, what am I? What do you say? See, as I alluded a little bit ago, there will be a day where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But can you say that today? Now, that's a promise. That's a promise that he says you will. Every knee will bow. Bert, your tongue will confess. Anybody in here think their tongue won't confess that day? That's a dumb question. Don't answer it. But if you don't believe it, let's have coffee. But who do you say that Jesus is this morning for you? I'm just going to be honest. Jesus used to be the slot machine for me. I need something, Lord, so I'm going to dial you up. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm going to read a little more. Even the tithe thing, I played the game. All right, Jesus says, test me and see. And I said, all right, I'm going to start paying these tithes. I hated it. I hated paying tithe, folk, because it did not make sense in my pea little brain that how you give out and more is going to come in. But again, that woman God sent me, she would give more stuff away, and I'm going, what are you doing? And she says, trust God. And I says, well, I don't know that I'm ready to trust God or not. Well, do it anyways. And she'd give it away, and we never went without. And as we gave and gave and gave and gave, he filled and filled and filled and filled. And dude, I got more material junk around than any man deserves. I need to really get rid of a lot. It's just junk at the end of the day. Trinkets and doodads and electronic stuff. And oh, my wife's back there cheering me on. She gets, get rid of that junk. I got a whole barn full of junk. My son-in-law gets to have it if I go early. No, he doesn't. Whoa. I was going to endow all this to my son-in-law. And he was happy, too. He was happy about it. And likewise, if something happens to him, I get all his junk. The mother and daughter have a conversation about that. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, what enlightenment came upon Simon Peter that day. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Who thinks they can tell me this morning who you think Jesus is in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. Who showed you that? Who exposed that to you? The Holy Spirit, the Father. Welcome that. Bathe in that. See, because if he showed you that, what else has he been showing you that you've been turning your head away from and going, I don't know that I want that. It may not be what I want. It's change. It's going to be risky. It's going to cost me. We had this conversation several times this week, Car and I. It takes money to make money. It takes risk to gain everything. And I know you can play it safe. Kind of like the fellers who got the talents, they played it safe. But those that went out and risked a little bit, guess what? They were given more. They were given more. They were given more. I keep telling this story, and you guys have probably heard me, and you'll probably someday throw tomatoes at me. As long as they're good and ripe and not them ones built in a hot house, I'll probably be okay with that. I like tomatoes. But the story about the children of Israel, there used to be a song, and I'm going to date myself. I go way back. Keep on casting your bread upon the water, because soon it'll be rolling back to you. And this was all about the children of Israel as they were traveling. They would actually put boats made out of bread and have all their seeds in these boats. And as those bread boats went down the swollen river, they hit the delta and they broke apart and they spread seed everywhere as they landed. And as they traveled through the years, the months, the days, not the years so much, but the days, the weeks, and the months, this seed had sprouted, so they had grain for their animals and for themselves. They had set up provision for themselves ahead of time. By you giving stuff away, by you giving your tithe, by you giving your heart, by you giving your time to people, what have you done? You're casting your bread upon the water. And guess what? It rolls back to you in a flood time after time. And what you know what happens? When you walk, see, these children of Israel had to get out of the tent and walk. And as they walked down, they ran into God's provision. How many times do you give something away and you thought, well, I'm never going to see that again? And you find that as you got down the stream a little bit, God smacked you. He says, here, this is yours. Not going to cost you a dime. It's one of the biggest blessings that you're ever going to have. Man, if you haven't done that, you need to get on board, because it is exciting. Car and I, we could sit up here and tell you stories time after time where God even sent us money. We needed cars, and God sent us exactly what the car cost us in a check in the mailbox when we showed up one day. We bought the car before we got the check. And we promised the guy we'd pay him. And as we got home, exactly what we paid for the car was on a check sitting in the mailbox. God smacked us as we went forward because we had invited him in to the journey. So Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are," here's his identity is about to change. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against my church." Against it, against my church, against you. Now he's going to take his swipes. The enemy is very good at swiping at you and showing up a big, you know, he makes himself look real big and taking a swath at you. But it does not come against who God is. Peter, and nowheres in there would you have called Peter a rock before that time. "Upon you, I'm going to build my church." And we even know what happened afterwards. We know Peter was caught in denial. Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me, pal." No, I ain't going to deny you. And he ran like a little girl around the fire that night. Every time somebody confronted him, he ran away. But you know what? That didn't change the identity that Christ had put in him. What did Peter become at the end of the story? Can anybody answer that? A rock. Thank you. A rock. "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Upon you and you and you and you on this side and you and you and you," he's going to build the church of Louisville, the church of the United States, the church of Christ. Wherever you go, wherever the soles of your feet shall tread, you will affect people one way or the other. And it's really good. You can just smile. You can just walk by. You can wink at them. You can do it. Use words if you have to. But ask the Holy Spirit to open up me. Who could I be for the teller at the store or the guy at the gas station? Or the lady in Aldi's last night who was throwing groceries into the cart because she was mad. Not at me, she was mad at the guy in front of me. But you come up and say, my wife's a classic at this. I brag on my wife a lot. She's a great gal. She makes friends absolutely everywhere she goes. Drives me nuts. Because I don't make friends everywhere I go. I gotta take more classes from her. You got to slow down and do that, though. But she's got this friend in behind her that she just made, and they're talking the whole time. And this guy's causing this lady all sorts of havoc in front of her, and I'm sitting over here watching all this. And she pulls up and says, "Well, how is your day?" Well, the lady wanted to roll her eyes, I'm sure, and say, "Well, that guy before me was an absolute knothead." But she didn't. She goes, "Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?" And so the conversation went. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but Christ was shared at that moment. How are you sharing Christ? Or are you too caught up in you not to? What is your identity? Your identity has been attacked. Be on notice. The enemy has and will continue to attack your identity. Identity alert. The sirens are going off. That little red triangle on your, like you see on your computers, just a blinking for all it's worth. You're waiting for the black screen or blue screen of death to come over you. Alert, alert, alert. And you know what? The enemy attacked my identity this last week, something fierce. And you know what I said? No, that's not my identity. No, you got me confused with somebody else. No, it couldn't be me. I don't even look or think like that. It's not mine. I don't own that. And it's really cool to see how he ran. He had no footing to hang around because I didn't give him no place to come in and sit. He can't stand very long. He's kind of weak-kneed. That was a joke. All right, you guys aren't in a joking mood. All right, Lord, I need more spirituality this morning. When Peter sees with his heart, his spirit eyes, it is from this point that he, Peter, can do all things. His identity is brought to the forefront. Amen. Man, have you ever sat with somebody and you've talked and you don't know what you said, but all at once there's a change, their identity changes, and they come. Whew, thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know what you just did, but you hit it. It's an identity change for them. They found some place where they could grab a hold and tie off to. They've got a word. You threw them a life ring. You saved their life at that moment. See, God doesn't come down and do all that stuff without you. Do you realize that? You are the factor. You're the missing ingredient for the world. You are the missing ingredient for what happened down there in Tennessee this week. I hate to talk about that because it has stirred people's hearts. But you touching someone, that one that's sitting on the outside, you are the one that is the missing ingredient for a person that goes in and shoots up a place like that. But will you have the courage to go say good morning to them? Or how are you? Or if the Lord's leading you, have a conversation with them. Smile at them, because they are waiting. The enemy has told them that no one likes you, no one loves you, you are absolutely worthless, so don't expect anybody to look you in the eye or smile at you. Who needs somebody in here this morning needs, or on camera, needs somebody just to look at you in the eye and smile? Anybody? We all do. Thank you, Pam. We all do. Again, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to have a voice, don't we? How many of you women, your husbands have stolen your voice? I stole my wife's voice for many years. And man, I didn't know what I was missing. She has no problem raising her hand, Doug. Don't worry about it. I did not know what I was missing. God gave me a partner. God gave me a business partner, a love partner, a take care of my house partner. There's times I'm working out on the car and she'll say, I'm stuck. And she says, well, don't you have to hook that to that? Well, why didn't I see that? Well, because I'm your partner. Oh, thanks, partner. So many. Now, there are those moments. We put up fence yesterday. We fenced in our, oh yeah, I can go there, car. I can't, because it's all about me. It was all about me messing up yesterday. When you don't understand what I'm doing sometimes, I expect you to know what I'm doing. And I can get testy. Can you imagine Pastor Bert getting testy? Come on. Somebody said yes out there. Well, he did, and it wasn't their fault. But man, when you put up a fence, you want it to look good. You want it to look straight. But if you don't put in wooden posts in the corners. Yeah, I know. You've been there. You've done that. You guys are laughing out there. When you pull hard to put the fence tight, you pull that corner in. And then the top sags. And then you're frustrated. And you're going, man, if I'd only took the time, but I don't have that kind of time to put wood posts. And I don't want it there forever. I just want it there temporary. But yet I want it to look good. So Bert came out. And guys, because from the years that I've stolen my wife's voice and her identity in so many ways, and I raised my octaves, dude, I was close to her going up to the house. And amen. And then I'd have had it done it myself. with Wes. We'd still be out there doing it. If you have an 11-year-old that doesn't really care, it's a journey. That's all I'm going to say. It's a journey. It tested me. So, but I did ask for forgiveness, and she was gracious. God was gracious. Wes was gracious. So a few more minutes here. I always feel in a hurry when I'm up here. Yeah, I know. I haven't forgot Rich. I really haven't. She got you covered, bro. When he walks into the room, when Jesus walks into the room, it changes. Changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Can you imagine the disciples? Jesus had just died on the cross. And they're back licking their wounds back in the old room there, getting a little, nobody really wants to eat. Old Mary, she cooked up Martha cooked up a heck of a meal for them. And they're back there in that room, and nobody wants to eat. She's sad because nobody's wanting to eat. And they're sitting there talking, what are we going to do now? We're kind of in fear because we hung out with that guy, and they up and killed him. Now they're going to up and want to kill us. And lo and behold, the door don't open or anything, but the atmosphere changes. He walked through the wall, and he entered the room. What do you suppose happened? Let's use your imagination. We're allowed to do that in church. It's not always about the scriptures, because the scriptures left so much out. That book, we would not be able to carry it around. I'd have to have me a forklift to bring that book in if we talked about everything that Jesus did. So let's dream a little bit. Dude, there was probably a few of the faint-hearted fell over. And you had one of the girls over there fanning them somehow, like that's supposed to bring them back somehow. I don't know. One of the guys would have been throwing water in his face or slapping him around going, what happened to you? Get up. But all the eyes would have been on Jesus coming through that wall. Where did you come from? And who really are you? Are you really who we think you are? And what's he do to old Thomas? Thomas, he hadn't seen in a while. And what's he do to old Thomas? He says, hey, Tommy, come on over here. Put your finger in there. I don't know. I don't know about that, but okay. Us guys, we don't know about that, but wow. All right. You're still not convinced, are you, Tom? No, you aren't. Okay. Right there. Stick your hand in my side there. What would you think? How would you act? Would everything change for you? Can you bring that picture back, Jen? What's it take for you? Do you believe in me now? Does he have to walk through the wall? Does he have to walk on the pond? Bighorn Lake, if you were out of my house sitting on the deck and Jesus came walking across the lake, would that change things for you? For how long would that change things for you? What is your faith built upon? What is your belief in me, not in me, in him, Jesus, built upon? Is it a one-time event? It wasn't enough for me. I'm just being honest. Should have been, but it isn't. It's the day-to-day-to-day. You know what wins when you're running a group? And I've run a lot of groups in my days. A few. You know what wins? Consistency. Showing up. With Jesus shows up for you consistently, moment by moment, and sometimes, guys, hear me, moment to moment, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, lifetime, generation. Wow. I'm not trying to be heavy today, guys. I'm trying to be, this is a gift. Jesus is going to walk into your room, and he's going to ask you, what do you want to give me today? What do you want to offload on me? I'm bringing in the big wheelbarrow. Throw all your junk in there that you don't want, because I'm going to take it, and you're never going to see it again. Yeah. You'll remember it. You ever have that thing you remembered, and I wish I'd have never thrown that away? You ever have one of those? I have. But it was good to get it gone. Today, some of the old cars that I got rid of, man, I wish I'd kept them, because that's been worth a lot of, but unto what? Another thing sitting around waiting, well, will the price go up? Will it get more valuable? No, Jesus, just take this junk. Get rid of it so I don't ever have to deal with it again. Wow. I'm going to ask the worship team if you guys have the grace to come up one more. Take us into something that's going to take us home today. So when he walks into a room, the room changes. Your circumstances change. The atmosphere changes. I'm not done. I got announcements afterwards here. So I just want them to thank you. Your attitude changes. The crowd changes. Your faith changes. Your behavior changes. Your identity has to change. How you see yourself changes. Wow. So in a minute here, I'm going to have the worship team take us into a little bit more worship. But before I do that, most of the announcements are in the bulletin. So if you didn't get one of them colorful little sheets, I had one up here. I don't know what I did with it. You guys all know what I'm talking about, the one that's in the bulletin. It's got everything on there. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask a friend of mine, and his name's Rich, to come up for share with me for a minute. I got to get a mic for him. You think you're loud enough, but you ain't. Potentially. You might not get to that. No. So we'll use a video if we have to, right. But I don't think we have to this morning. So Rich has been a friend of mine, I don't know how long.
18 years?
Been that long? Man, seemed like just yesterday.
It does seem like.
Right. We've been friends for a long time. Rich and I have walked through a lot of stuff together. But Rich is doing something totally incredible. I remember many a coffee date sitting across the table from, can we call that a date? We probably shouldn't do that.
Let's do that.
we had coffee across the table from one another. And Rich says, you know what? I want to do something that's bigger than me. I want to do something that God has called me to. And I think Rich hit it when he got this new appointment at Crossroads Missions. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, my guy.
Yeah, I know.
So I know most of you in the room, and you know that I'm pretty shy. I don't like to talk, so it's going to be challenging for me up here. So I don't have nearly the time to tell you everything that Crossroads Missions does. So let me just first start by saying that I'm going to be back here at this table after service. Please come back and ask questions, because what God does through Crossroads Missions is it's really amazing. And as Bert said, I'm just blessed to be a part of it. So I'll give you a brief rundown, kind of an overview, and then I really do want to focus on a specific thing today. So, Crossroads Missions, 30-year-old ministry, started by a great friend of mine while we were in college, at Milligan College. We used to laugh and say that while the rest of us were trying to find a beach to lay on in spring break, he and his sister Judy were saving up money, scraping pennies together to buy this broken-down school bus where they would take students to Mexico, a little town called Piedras Negras. And over the course of the 4 years, Rob and Judy took over 300 students to Mexico, where they built children's homes and schools, things that are still active today, still serving the Lord from those places today. Fast forward 30 years, we've had over 200,000 volunteers come with us on short-term missions. We have a number of different fields. Actually, there are 6 ministries that make up Crossroads Missions. We have 5 permanent fields. We have the one in Mexico that I just mentioned. We have one here in Louisville. We have one in Western Kentucky, one in Appalachia, and one down in New Orleans. And then we have a ministry called Help Build Hope that travels all over the country. We do about 80 different events a year all over the United States, where it's really the best one-day short-term mission trip you'll ever experience. I'm trying to talk Bert into doing that here. But 80 different events a year, we build a house in your church or organization parking lot using you. And we frame the entire house in your parking lot in about 4 hours. And over the course of the 20 years that that ministry has been around, we have given away 1,500 plus homes to organizations like Habitat for Humanity, Isaiah 117 House, and some of our ministry fields. But I would say the one that that's probably most relevant today, you mentioned the tornadoes. Last year on, well, I guess it wasn't last year, the year before last, December 11th, 2020, the largest tornadic event in American history. One single tornado went from Arkansas through Tennessee up through Kentucky. It was 250 miles that it went. It was nearly 30,000 feet high and nearly 2 miles wide. It destroyed places. 3 days after that tornado hit, I was on the ground with a group of ministers from churches that support Crossroads, and they wanted to know, what are you all doing? What are we going to do? And we didn't want to open another field because we didn't have a field we were planning to close. So that would mean new equipment, new people, new everything. But 3 days later, 4 days later, I'm on the ground. I don't know how to explain this situation. There have been life-changing moments that I've experienced before. This might be top three. Never once have I ever been in a place where my brain just could not comprehend what I was looking at. The devastation in these locations in Western Kentucky was something that I had only ever seen in movies about war. And so when we came back, while we were there, it's emotional, actually. The thing that got to us the most was we had pastors who the night before were writing their Christmas Eve messages for the week following. And that night, the tornado hit. And the next day, now they're thrown into this triage situation where literally they were having church members who lost their lives. And all of these people who were coming into these communities in Western Kentucky to give and to help and to serve. And I asked one of the pastors, you know, what is it that you need? And he said, actually, he said, I think what we need is coming later. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, Rich, what happens when all of this is gone? When all of the people who are here right out of the gate to serve in a disaster relief situation, what happens when they leave? What happens when the news crews leave? What happens when the next natural disaster hits? What are we gonna do? I knew right then that Crossroads needed to be involved somehow. And so we started to pray about that, and man, the Lord has done an amazing work. A year later, we have a whole field that's down there. We're committed to being in Western Kentucky for the next 3 years at least. Crossroads is all about, I won't say all about, each field is a little different, but our primary tool is construction. It's what gives us an excuse to be on the street, to love on people. And in Western Kentucky, we're in a little town called Dawson Springs. Dawson Springs was made up of 2,000 houses, 600 of which were destroyed in this tornado. It's amazing what God is doing in that community. And so we started a field called Operation Recovery. The goal of that field is to make Jesus Christ and his church the hero in the recovery process in Western Kentucky. And so we have 18 new homes under construction right now. The goal is to build 50 over the course of the next 3 years, and we'll see where God takes us from there. It's a free missions trip. We asked the Lord, we said, wherever you are going to take us, and we are confident you're going to take us, we're going to believe that you're going to provide. And so he has had churches from all over the country, individuals from all over the country help. And through that financial help, we have made the decision to pay for everybody when they come down. And you just have to get there. We will feed you. We have a church that has literally given us their entire building, except for twice during the course of the week. Once is women's yoga on Saturdays. You don't interrupt that. The worship service on Sunday, which when you're there, you'll see about half of the congregation is made up of volunteers. We've had over 1,000 volunteers come. They have done over 20,000 hours worth of work. $500,000 worth of value has been added to the community. It has been amazing. So there's lots of ways, as I said, to get involved with Crossroads locally, nationally, internationally, but where we could really use your help right now is in Western Kentucky. So I just want to invite you, if you want to come as an individual, if you want to come as a small group, if you want to come as an entire church, if you want to stay for a couple of hours or for a day or for an entire week, we can put you up, we can feed you, and we have full-time people on the ground that will put you to work, and you can help us be the hands and feet of Jesus in Western Kentucky. So if you have other questions about our other fields and other things that that Crossroads does, please come see me back here.
So so Crossroads is one of the ministries that you continue to see Sunday after Sunday that we support. I'm so glad that you get to put a face and a voice with what we actually continue to put into. So I thank you, Rich. Thank you, Crossroads, for the hard work. They go places that most of us don't want to go. You ain't getting no video today, man. Forget it. So we appreciate that so many ways. So stop back there and see Rich. What we're going to do is, if you all stand, we're just going to have the worship team take us out with this last song. And as they're going through the song, as they finish, you may be exited. You're not going to hear no more out of me this morning. I'm gonna go. But make sure you stop back there and see Rich. You won't be disappointed, okay? Bless you all.